Hello and welcome to the Business Show podcast here on Radio Newark and in collaboration with Newark Business Club. I'm Simon Gabitas, one of your hosts, and I'm with my co-host, Michael Hardy. Michael, hello, how are you?
Hello, everybody. Hello, Simon. Great to be here again.
And we are also joined by special guests from our Newark Business Club committee. We've got Simon Shaw. Hello, Simon.
Nice to be here.
And Michelle Allen. Hello.
Hi, it's great to be in the studio.
And we'll be speaking to you shortly. Michael.
Indeed. So what have we got coming up on today's show?
I hope you know.
I do. I've got it right here in front of me, Simon.
Excellent.
So we're going to be looking at last month's meeting highlights. Then we're going to be talking about the Business Show Big Quiz, which everybody's talking about in Newark Business Club.
Everyone except for me.
Then we're going to talk to Michelle and Simon to get a bit more information about their history with the business club and something about the businesses that they both run.
Fantastic.
We're then going to have the grant finder, so business grants from Newark and Sherwood. Who gives a book? And then finally, we're delighted that the guest interview tonight is with our patron, Steph Wright from Gusto Group.
Excellent. So,
let's start the show.
Go.
So, last month's highlights, Simon. What were the highlights last month?
So, our April meeting was sponsored by Optimum Safety. We heard from Chris Owen, who's the managing director, and he gave us a bit of an insight into kind of who they are, what they do. So, they are health and safety experts, they're consultants. And I suppose he kind of described them as health and safety with a bit of personality, which is nice. We know the black and white kind of side of health and safety, but they like to kind of bring a little bit of personality. So he mentioned some of the on-site online training that they do as well. So, yeah, an insightful sponsor slot that.
Yeah, it was also good to hear his background and how he used to be stuck in chimney breasts and
down wells.
Yeah, absolutely.
He got out of them, thankfully.
Hearing how somebody has been inspired to build the business they have is always a great opportunity when we do those things.
So, yes, yeah. Indeed. And like I say, it came with a bit of personality, which is always, always good. We had another couple of guest speakers during the meeting as well. So we heard from the team from Newark and Sherwood District Council, their economic growth team. We had Neil and Elaine, and they were talking really about the Newark Towns Fund, some of the projects that have already happened, and really giving us a bit of an insight in where some of that money's being spent, which is always good to know. We heard from the Newark MP, Robert Jemrick. He gave us some updates and also answered some questions at the end of the meeting. And then we did our regular networking, so people got a chance to have a catch-up and a chat. A bit of a wrap-up around some of the events that are happening in the area, which is always good to hear.
And an action group update from some bloke in Tenerife, if I remember right.
Well, I think, you know, the idea is that we just want videos from you, Michael, from various places in the world. Let's see what we can do next. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, wait for the next one. The May meeting. Look forward to where I'll be for that video.
Probably just in the other side of the room, but just on video, just because it's easier to do it that way.
Yeah, I did get a bit of grief for that, for being in the room and yet not on my feet.
I think it was just a bit confusing because you actually introduced it and went, I'm actually here as well. And people are going, no, you're on the screen. No, oh, no, you're there. You're on the screen. It was good. It was good. So we've got another action-packed meeting this month. And obviously, if you are on the way over to the YMCA to our meeting, then you'll hear more soon.
Yeah, and I'll be in the car park. In the YMCA, not in the Newark.
Actually in the car park, not in the video in the car park.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. Right, on to the big part of the show, the quiz.
Oh, the quizness already?
Absolutely. Oh, and the great thing is you've got two people who can help you.
Phone a friend.
Yeah.
50-50. Well, the quizzes are available. The
question is, if you're phoning a friend, who's your friend?
Let's
move on
all
quickly.
All friends. I'll phone you, Michael. You've got the answer.
Okay. So on the basis that we've got two local finance experts with us, I thought I would ask a question that's linked to finance.
It's a good idea.
And obviously, we're talking to business owners in the region. So what is the most important for a business owner? Is it A, cash flow, B, turnover, or C, profit?
Cash flow.
Correct.
It should be.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Not revenue, not turnover.
No. And I think, you know, obviously you need money, you need cash. Profit's great, but without cash in the bank and being able to spend that cash, then you really are struggling. Got some stats that I thought I'd share. 52% of small businesses experience late payments, which is a huge, you know, over half the businesses that we all work with getting late payments. And that has a real issue. And the impact, FSB, so the Federation of Small Businesses, I think we can use their online reports. They talk about 37% run into cash flow difficulties. 30% of these are forced into use an overdraft, which obviously increases cost of running the business, usually not then taken into account when they're trying to work out gross profits and how they're actually running the business. 20% actually hit their profits. So because of the fact that they've not got the cash, then they can't generate the profits they were hoping to. And just as a stat, 1 year there was 50,000 business deaths due to cash flow.
Wow.
And that has an impact on the economy. So the FSB quote, £2.5 billion worth of growth that would have been there if those businesses had survived. So just by people paying late. So it's on all of us to be really careful with our cash flow and how we help other businesses and chase that cash ourselves. So.
Definitely. That was quite daunting, actually, having you three all stare at me as I answer that question. But yeah, no, what is it I go back to? Is it revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll go with that.
So second question, not got away with it, that So online shopping for supermarkets has been a really important part of their development over the past probably 10 plus years now. And Sainsbury's this week have announced their annual profits. And within that they talked about how their online sales are. So what percentage do you think their online sales are? And I'll help you by saying that 4 years ago, their online sales were 20% of their business.
So I don't need to necessarily phone a friend, but I think we should, you know, maybe have a discussion. I think, again, you know, this links to some of the conversations I had earlier today about just the retail high street, about changing behaviour, about how easy it's become to actually go and order something online. So I think more than double?
You would think so, but I think more and more people are finding their way back into the stores.
Yeah, and obviously, I guess people are trying to create that experience, aren't they? I was talking to someone earlier on about how you're going to get people back onto the retail high street. And I think it really is only if you can create an experience and a reason for someone to go in. But we are seeing shops decrease. We're seeing more express-type shops pop up. So 45% maybe? What do we?
I would go lower.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's definitely increased a lot.
Okay, so 45%.
43.
Okay.
2.
Their online sales was 13% of their business.
No way.
Yeah. That's right, Simon?
Yeah, I think I saw the news story, which is why.
Yeah.
Insight into that.
I pick it up from the newsroom. I don't make these up myself, I promise. But yeah, so part of their thing is that they are trying to get people back into stores. The challenge for them is their grocery sales have grown by 9%, which is pretty healthy. And of course, if you think about the online sales, they get quite restricted because people just reorder the same things. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they're in the store, then they'll browse. You know, certainly when I go shopping to any of the supermarket brands, my basket's always fuller than what my list intends to be.
That's because me and you go when we're hungry.
But so, you know, actually creating that experience, getting people back in store is really important for retailers. It was one of those that it was a surprising figure. And I think it does also show that people are trying to get back out and be in stores. So if you create the right environment, then people will come and shop in your store.
Good story.
Thank you. Okay, so that's the big quiz finished for this month. And well done, Simon. So one right, one wrong. So that's pretty good.
We'll go with that.
So now it's our opportunity to meet a couple of other committee members.
Indeed. So we've got Simon Shaw, who is from Duncan Autopolis, but is also the vice chairman of Newark Business Club. And we've got Michelle Allen from Access Accounts, who is the treasurer for the club. So again, great to see you guys. Thank you for joining us tonight. Today?
Pleasure.
When? Then?
Pleasure to be here.
So we've sort of talked about, obviously having two of you in the room, we and two accountants, so that's always a challenge. So we sort of did give you a bit of a heads up on what we'd like you to think of and talk to and share with our audience. So the first thing is, actually, you've both got really good long experience as being part of the business club. So maybe you can share about your journey with the business club.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks, Michael. Well, we're on our seventh venue that I know of. Started at Brace many, many years ago, and via Gusto's and the Atrium and various other places along the way. And we're now at the wonderful YMCA.
Which is a great venue.
Certainly is, yes.
And what about your own personal journey? Because you've been part of the club for quite a while, Simon.
Yeah, probably going on for 22, 23 years now, somewhere around there. Eight chairmen. So, Simon, you're the latest to come through.
I think ninth, I think I heard.
You're the ninth chairman, eighth I've known. So
okay.
Yes. Yeah. So we're getting through them at this rate. So.
And how long have you been on the committee?
Probably for about 18 or 19 years now. Oh. So started off doing Michelle's role as the treasurer, and then moved up, sideways, whatever you want to call it, to the vice chair.
Which is amazing. I mean, that many years of being part of the club and helping and, you know, volunteering, as we all know, is you know, a challenge at times. So the efforts and the longevity is really appreciated. And I know from Simon and I, who are still relatively new into the committee, you bring a lot of experience that really helps us. So,
I've said it on the podcast before, but actually, it was my first meeting that I was chairing, and and the sponsor pulled out, and I was away on holiday at the time. I rang Simon, and Simon was just so calm about it. He went, "Don't worry, we'll sort it." And I just, you know, it was one of those moments where I thought, right, okay, and we did. And I mean, I did say to him, "Has this ever happened before?" And he went, "Oh, probably not in the last 18 years, but, but we did." And Simon's great in that respect, because actually we did come up with a solution and that worked. But certainly I think, you know, for me, you've been a massive help in my role as well, and as I've got used to everything, certainly over the last 12 months. So thank you very much for that as well.
That's very kind of you.
Thank you. Michelle?
I've been trying to remember when I actually joined the committee. It was part of my bio on the website. Yeah. I can remember I became chairman back in 2013, because I can measure it with the fact that I stepped down at the beginning of April 2015 and had a baby about 20 days later. So I joined probably about 5 or 6 years before that, came to the club, joined the committee. James Fountain was chairman and convinced me into being vice chairman. Little did I know his longer term plan.
There was a plan.
So then I was chairman for a number of years, and I was part of the move from the Showground to the Everyday Champions Centre when we moved there. So that was kind of the big thing that happened under my reign. And then with having a baby, I did step away probably for 3 or 4 years, and then took over Access Accounts. And after a couple of years doing that, thought, I'd like to get back in there. I'd like to join the committee again. And thankfully, the committee agreed to have me back. So I rejoined and became treasurer a couple of years ago. So it's been an interesting term.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but great to have you back. And I think, again, you know, I've always said, we've got a wealth of experience, skilled people on our committee, and we're blessed to have that. You know, I speak to other business clubs in and around the region, and, you know, they often kind of go, oh, we get, you know, half the people turn up at committee meetings. But I think, you know, from our point of view, we've got a real group of dedicated, committed individuals that make it work. And that's often the case of why, actually, you know, even when people aren't there, can't make them, you know, it still runs as a really smooth event.
Yeah, I think Simon will agree. In our role, we end up being on quite a few committees in different guises. And it's always interesting. The business club committee works really well together. Everyone has an active part. Everyone gives something to that committee. And that's not always the case with committees. So it's really good to see everyone invested in doing it well.
We've got it right at the moment. Don't go anywhere.
So that's your role within the business club. But you do have a business to run, each of you. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your business interests? What's yours? Go on, Michelle, you start this time.
I'll start this time. So I took over Access Accounts back in 2017. I bought it from a local business lady called Jenny Gadsby. So the business itself has been going for over 20 years. And I'm very lucky that a couple of her staff have stayed on board in that time. We did rebrand the company after a period of time to Access Accounts. and I own it with my husband, Simon, who is the only non-accountant in my business. But that always adds an interesting flavour to our conversations in the office, because sometimes we can get a bit stuck in the techie jargon and we like to try and get away from that. But our base is we're an open door accountants. We family focused because we're family run. That's what we know. That's what we do. And I did that largely to be more flexible with my time, because as I mentioned earlier, I had a little boy who is just turned 9, and it's about spending time with him while still enjoying the career that I spent a lot of time qualifying to do, and working with so many different businesses. And that's what's really interesting about being an accountant. We all know the numbers, the formulas, the reports we have to produce, but seeing all the different businesses in the local area and being a key part of what they do, and hopefully a key part of that success, makes my job really interesting and exciting each day.
Nice. Lots of variance.
Absolutely. And lots of spreadsheets too.
Lots of spreadsheets. You love a spreadsheet.
I do. I got a Christmas mug this year in the Secret Santa that tells me I'm excellent. Whee. With an Excel spreadsheet on it. So my life is spreadsheets.
Brilliant. Thank you, Michelle. Simon.
Well, I think they did well selling those mugs this year then, because I got one very similar. So obviously a bit of a theme there. So I've been with Duncan & Topless for the last 20, coming into my 26th year. So I celebrated 25 years last year. And during that time, I've seen the business grow and grow and grow. And we continue to do that. And now, although I'm an accountant myself, we do much more than accountancy in terms of helping business, in terms of helping those business grows. And very much like Michelle said, we know the numbers, and you've got to know the numbers. And we talked about cash being king earlier. But really, the enjoyable part of it is meeting those different business people, going on that journey with them, whether that be a small business taking its first steps, or whether it be a larger business looking to exit and go into retirement, or even sell on to or even to acquire other businesses themselves. So it's that whole journey that we can help businesses with, not just on the accountancy side, but on lots of other related things that they need to be successful.
Great.
Brilliant. Well, that's hopefully a bit of an insight into the businesses that you run on your day job when you're not volunteering and with other organisations. It'd be, you know, great opportunity while you are here, if there's any, you know, snippets or advice of, you know, the tax. We're into a new tax year, so, you know, new rules, new regulations. Is there anything that you think our listeners would benefit just having a heads up on?
Yeah, sure. The biggest change that it's not really a tax, but it feels like a tax in some ways, is the national minimum wage increases, yeah, that came in this April. And although we obviously want a high paying economy, a successful economy that everyone can share in, but the increase that for some people or some employers was as much as 12%, just a little bit over 12% at certain ranges of the national insurance, I think it's a bit of a strain on some businesses, because yeah, obviously they're trying to grow their own business, they're trying to provide services, they're trying to make profit for themselves. And I think it is really a big challenge in this coming year, that large increase in national minimum wage. And what people often forget is that the people above that national minimum wage look down and go, well, you've had 10%, you've had 12%, where's mine, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's challenging, and I think it's important that employers do stay abreast of those changes, make sure they're complying with those changes. Because it is the rules, and we've all got to work within that environment.
No, you're absolutely right. And I suppose coming from a recruitment background, it's something that we've had to have a lot of reviews and chats with clients around, and some that generally didn't realise that was happening. And when you've got a lot of staff who are paid similar to that amount, it suddenly makes a big difference. But the bit that, like you've just touched on there, Simon, that companies don't always think about is that next level up salary banding, who, like you say, the difference is not much now. So it's right, what happens to that role? And obviously it starts to push other things out, doesn't it? So
yeah, and employers, you know, people look and go, well, it's £1 and a penny or whatever, but it's the NI, it's the pension contribution, it's so much more than just that single figure on a pay slip. So it has a bigger impact on a business owner.
Absolutely. And kind of something to help people monitor that is, it's not coming in right now, but April 26 is something called Making Tax Digital. So you'll tend to find larger businesses have in-house accountants, bookkeepers, and much more regular management information, whereas your smaller businesses tend to do what they need to do to be compliant. Mm-hmm. And from April 26, they're going to be made to do that quarterly rather than once a year. But I think businesses need to look at that as an opportunity to get more on top of their finance records so that they can see how are these changes in costs affecting their business throughout the year. But the software offers so much more. So especially with, for Tradex, for example, you can use the app to do a quote while you're at the client's. When you finish the work, they've accepted the quote, you invoice them and they can pay you on the card. So it helps with that cash flow as well. So whilst it's a mandated change for businesses with turnover of 50,000 from April 26, there's so much more around that software and so much more capability that actually embracing that change early can help your business to grow and be aware of cash flow issues before they hit and become severe. So I really think that's something that businesses should start to look at getting on board with sooner rather than later.
Yeah, great advice. And as we touched on earlier on, you know, it is, you know, a huge part of the business and you've got to be on top of it.
Absolutely. And like Michael said, so many businesses fail because of poor cash flow management rather than not making a profit, because profit is on paper. Cash flow is what's in your bank account, the real stuff that we all have to deal with day to day.
Yeah, and it's not because they've not got a good product or service. It's just mismanagement sometimes, or just not being on top of some of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I say, being able to get your cash in quicker can make such a difference.
Yeah.
Busy people and sometimes chasing invoices is a job they don't like to do and don't quite realise the impact.
Absolutely. And whilst me and Simon love doing bookkeeping yes. and accounts and stuff, I find with most business owners, it's the bit they really don't want to do. So
yeah, I'm off to go run a report on my software later on.
Quick. Yeah, and I'm sure we've all seen businesses where they go, I've made a really good profit this year and my cash is really low. And, you know, it's that balance, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure Simon will get asked this a lot. Why do you say I've made all this profit? Where's the money? Where's the money? Yes, and we spend a lot of time explaining that one.
Brilliant. Well, really appreciate you joining us this evening and sharing a bit of your own journey with the club, a bit about your businesses and some advice for our listeners, which is fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
So next on our list, Simon, is our grants.
Business grants.
Yeah, which very kindly provided by Will Parkinson.
Still working on a jingle for that, though, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. But so Will at the council, Newcombe Sherwood District Council, who've got access to loads of grants, have got software that can help people find grants. And he's given me three different grants. Might be interesting for you guys. Might be something in here that maybe one of your businesses that you look after might find these interesting. We've certainly found that, haven't we, Simon, mm-hmm. over the first few months of this.
Well, we didn't know about some of them. Exactly. And then, of course, we've told people. People have said, I didn't realise until I heard it on the business show, and now I can use it, or I can actually, you know, apply for it, which is great.
Yeah, and Will's had people applying for it, which is fantastic. So it's obviously working. So the first one today is Get It Made Women in Engineering Grant. So there's £5,000 worth of support for female-led enterprise operating in the UK engineering sector to help the business scale up production progress to the next level. It's a £5,000 support can be used when ordering any Get It Made manufacturing services. So the purpose of the initiative is to support female-led engineering organisations, both financially and with expertise. And the grant will work closely with Get It Made engineers to accelerate their business. Great news is it's for businesses that are fewer than 10 people. So quite often you hear of these things where it's over five mm-hmm. and bigger companies and have a clear goal or mission for the product or the company. They're a London-based manufacturing services company, Get It Made. So £5,000, as with anything for that type of business, will be interesting. The second one is ANS Ambition Fund. Now, it's quite interesting because my first question to Will was, who are ANS? We're none the wiser, but that's fine. That's fine. They're offering funding to help SMEs in the UK drive businesses forward into the digital world, moving to cloud, using serverless technology, implementing a new CRM. The fund must be used for ANS services. There's no maximum amount that can be asked for, but each project may vary in funding depending on its size and ambition. UK businesses with less than 300 employees, so again, into mm-hmm. the smaller area, which is, I know some people will be listening to this going, 300 employees is small, but believe me, it is. And they've so far made £2 million available for the fund, so decent chunk. So again, all of these will be more than happy to put you in contact with the right people.
So we just need to find out who ANS is now.
Yeah.
And so, what their services are.
What is it? Answers on a postcard.
We'll try and put it in the link on the social media stuff.
And the final one is the Eaton Fund, grants for artists. So small grants available to support visual artists, residents in the UK making one-off purchase. Grants are around £350 for painters, potters, sculptors, photographers who need support for one specific purpose in purchasing one item. The Eaton Fund is a charitable trust that was established in 1954. And to make contact, it's admin@eatonfund.org.uk. But again, you know, so again, artists, local artists, anybody
Well, that is really interesting. I think, so a meeting I was in earlier on today, actually, was part of the Newark Town Board and some of the funding that's going on. And we were talking to consultants. And one of the bits of feedback came back was actually that the amount of people in Newark that are involved in craft,
yep.
that are involved in art. So actually that's an Absolutely. Interesting link.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realise maybe there was as much, but when they've done some of their consultancy work, when they've done some of their research, that's something that's been flagged up. So hopefully something people can take advantage of.
Absolutely. And with all the grants and many more, please contact Will Parkinson at Newark and Sherwood District Council. He's got a wealth of knowledge and all at his fingertips.
Thank you to Will again.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think it's time we say goodbye to Michelle and Simon. So I think we've got Steph waiting to join us. So really appreciate you guys coming along.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you again for all the stuff that you do for us at Newark Business Club.
Okay, that was a great session with Michelle and Simon. Really enjoyed that. So on to the one of the things that you brought into the club, Simon, which was who gives a book. And so talk us through which book you gave away last month.
So we gave a book away called It's Tough at the Top. It's the No Fibbing Guide to Leadership. And that was a book that was recommended by Louise Sinclair from Bowman House Hospice Care. Louise actually recommended that book quite a few months ago, but we've had that much of an influx of people recommending books, giving me books, as I mentioned before. So yeah, it was great to give that book away. That was won by Jack Tyngate from QuickTask. Yes. So again, the idea with that is that if he reads that book and he thinks there's value to other people, then he can pass that book along to other people as well.
And is it true there's Simon Gabitas book library opening soon?
Should be. I have got, well, in fact, I have said at the May Business Club meeting, I have mentioned that there may be more than one book being given away. So watch this space.
Brilliant. Great idea. Really engaging. So well done for bringing that to the, as part of your chair.
Good stuff. I just, as you say, I've just got loads of books in my office right now.
Great stuff. Well, we've now got our patron interview. So we're delighted that Steph Wright has joined us from Gusto Group. Hello, Steph.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
Great to be here in this wonderful studio.
How are you?
I'm all right, actually, after a couple of weeks of being ill. So.
Of course, yes. You haven't been one at all.
Very rare for me. I dodged COVID for 4 years and then it got me back big time.
But yeah, so I suppose first off, thank you so much to you and obviously the team at Gusto Group for being involved as a patron sponsor of the business club. We're in the second year of offering that out as patron sponsorship. So yeah, thank you again for getting involved and being more involved in the business club as well.
Well, the business club, you know, goes right the way back to, I remember those very, very early meetings with Phil Staples and the few people that met up in a cafe. 25 years ago, go on.
Wow. So, well, yeah, I think it's 23. So we should probably meander through that journey then, Steph.
Well, I won't meander through the journey, but I'll just take you back and we'll jump back to the present day. But I think what the business club has been really good at is continuing to innovate all the way through. So it obviously started in, I think it was Braith's Cafe and then moved to Gusto's venue. So we hosted it for quite a few years and that allowed it to sort of move on to the next level in terms of being in a venue, and then it outgrew Gusto's venue, and then it moved on and moved on with different chairs. And I think every chair has brought something new to it, and I mean, sitting here in the studio today is another perspective, another angle that the business club has brought in. So I think take my hat off to everybody that's put their hands in the air and taken up the challenge of the chairman chairman's role or the chairperson's role of the business club?
I think my hand was thrust into the air by someone else at the time.
But, keep it up for another year.
But it is good. And again, it's kind of, we're continuing that innovation. We're pushing forward. We're trying to deliver value for people that want to be visitors to Newark Business Club, but also to the patron sponsors. You know, Radio Newark as part of, you know, them being a patron sponsor as well. Great to get involved with them and learn about this as a place and where we can,
And for businesses actually to see this as an opportunity for them to use this type of media in all sorts of different ways. So, that enthusiasm that's been breeding success in Newark.
Phil didn't tell me, though, that this was actually going to be filmed. When we first spoke about it, he said, oh, podcast. And we went, yeah, this is a good idea. And then we got here and there was three cameras and me and Michael went, really? But no, it works. And actually, I think through that, I mean, there's lots of people that mention that they've seen this via YouTube. And I go, it's not a space I would naturally go to listen to a podcast. But actually, I've started to discover other podcasts through it as well. So, learning journey for me as well.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. So you were right back at the beginning of the business club, but what business were you running in those days, Steph? Because your business history is equally long and varied from previous conversations we've had.
Do we get to talk about you being a DJ at one point?
Well, that was the start of it. Well, in fact, that was the Gusto's venue was almost that lurch back into can I be a DJ again? So there's no clubs, nightclubs or radio stations that were going to book me as a DJ. So I had to create my own venue in Newark.
DJ Gusto at Gusto's.
That's the only thing I could do. And so I suppose my main business as it's been all the way through has been construction and development. And then Gusto's venue was a change of direction. We'd actually developed a business called Party Time.
Yes.
And so through Party Time, we were doing all sorts of stuff. We did massive firework displays. We did party to a party nights. People will remember those at the showground. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, the key sort of years there at the showground. We were probably putting on parties for 3,000 people. Over the course of Christmas.
I didn't realise that. I've been to so many of those parties.
Yeah, we organised all those. Wow. We created that sort of party to a party thing. So we did lots of stuff with Party Time and then opened our own venue. And to be fair, you know, people have very fond memories of the venue. I think it just did bring a lot of people together that were sort of business people. It was all about bringing business and pleasure together. That was the idea of it. Did it work as a business? No, in reality, it didn't. But was it good fun doing it? Yes, it was. And we learned a lot from doing it. And I think that's what you do in business. You know, you will fail at some things or some things just won't quite get off the ground. But it doesn't mean it's not a good thing to do. You learn from it and you move on to something else.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, last month we had Lucy Painter on, didn't we?
Yes.
And Lucy was talking about that tenacity as an entrepreneur, that kind of skill that you kind of need, really. And I kind of think about my business, you know, we go down the hallway in our business and we've got the quote, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. And I kind of walk past that every day, again, thinking that because we've got to move forward, roll with the punches, however it goes. And actually, you know, you come up with an idea, does it work? And you tend to find that most of the successful entrepreneurs have got other businesses that didn't work. And that's how they've learned.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, we won't dwell on the DJ. Party Time.
What was the genre?
But
D-I-S-C-O. Disco.
Within your, you know, you are engaged in a lot of different businesses in a lot of different sectors. What joins them up? What's the thing that knits them together from your perspective? What gets you involved in businesses?
I mean, I suppose the thing that always excites me about any business is the opportunity to innovate in that sector. So you get into a sector, we got into manufacturing and didn't necessarily jump into manufacturing by choice. We were having a product made for us by a company called Rotatech, who were a manufacturing company based in Claypole. And they went bust, and so we were in danger of losing that potential to have our product manufactured by them. So we ended up buying the company out of administration. It had about 40 staff at the time, and over the years we've managed to grow that business. We've got 120 or more staff now, across two sites, another another factory in development at the moment, and it's a successful business. And we're rotational moulders, but we're innovating now in a quite a complicated sector, and doing some amazing stuff and working with some really interesting clients. We've just launched a project with Octopus Energy.
Right.
So we've developing their casings for air source heat pump systems. So all sorts of products, all sorts of innovation. So I suppose, just coming back to your question, the theme that gets me out of bed is innovation, is how can we innovate? But sustainability is at the heart of that. So it's innovation, but innovation that sort of connects the business to a purpose. So, you know, businesses are there to make money. They have to make money. They have to be profitable. But if it's just about making money, then I would get very easily bored with the business, because it's not actually doing anything other than just generating profits for its shareholders. If the business is innovating, coming up with new ideas and breaking new ground, and if that new ground it's breaking aligns the business better to its impact on the environment, to its impact on the community, then actually it's delivering more than one thing. So it's about people, planet and profit.
Fantastic. Nice. And I know, I mean, sustainability is something that's sort of all around us in personal as well as business. And for a lot of small businesses, it's quite scary because they talk about it as a cost, as a barrier. But you look at it from the other end of the telescope.
I think you have to look at everything as an opportunity. Yeah. If you look at it as a barrier, then it's got a cost attached to it. And then what's the purpose? What's the point in doing it if it's just going to cost your business something and you can't actually imagine how that's going to bring value to your business? And I think the word ESG is a word that is probably 5 years ago wasn't really used that much. I think what happened through COVID is that a lot of people started to make, a lot of consumers started to make decisions as to who they were going to buy from. And they started to base those decisions on the environmental and social benefits that those companies brought. And I think a lot of people are now jumping on the bandwagon.
Yep.
But it's a good bandwagon to jump on. But you have to do it properly and you have to do it with credibility. To make their businesses more aligned with environmental and sustainability goals, and then hopefully see commercial benefits from doing that. Obviously, if you're saving energy within your business, it's going to save you money, so it makes sense to do it. If you're saving waste, you're saving money.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's lots of individual little benefits that you should get from just being more thoughtful about the way you run your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said, you know, consumers are more aware now and are looking at who is making a difference and who is...
As are staff who are choosing to go and work for companies. Yeah, if you're going to work for somebody, a lot of people are driven by what's the purpose of that company and what's the, you know, am I going to enjoy working for that company? Not, I'm just going to make an extra, you know, few quid.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess just talking about doing it properly. So... You, from a Gusto perspective, recently went through that B Corp piece. Can you kind of give us a bit of...
Yeah, B Corp is almost like the gold standard for people, planet and profit. It's a really tough process to go through. It took us probably 2.5 years to get our accreditation, so it's not something that you can do...
It's not something you're going to lightly. You've got to be...
You've got to want to do it.
Right.
You've got to sit there and think, right, I want my business to have a purpose. And then you've got to really understand what that purpose is. So you've got to focus on how your business impacts on your staff. So all your HR stuff, you know, how are you looking after your staff? Have you got a diverse group of staff working for your company? You know, what's your decision-making processes? You actually have to embed a policy into your memorandum of articles, so into sort of company policy that says that your decision-making process won't just focus on bottom-line profit, it will focus on people, planet and profit. So you should, every decision you make for your business should be aligned with B Corp. Now, why would you put your business through all that pain? Because it is a painful mm-hmm. process, and you have to pay each year to be a member of okay. the, or to have your B Corp accreditation. The commercial reason, I would say, is because B Corps are starting to work together, starting to use each other in their supply chains. They're starting to promote B Corp as a place for customers to go. So, you know, if you see the B Corp accreditation stamp on a product, then actually that's the product that a lot of people are starting to choose to purchase. So I think the B Corp movement is a far more powerful movement than just having a ISO accreditation or some other accreditation says that you've, you know, you've done these good things or you've got some good systems within your business. I think the B Corp movement is quite clever okay. In the way that it's actually going to add value to businesses, and it's growing phenomenally. Mm. I mean, there's over 2,000 B Corps now in the UK, 6,000-7,000 or more in the States. Some multi-billion pound operations are B Corps down to, you know, small lifestyle businesses yeah. that are B Corps. So it's still small enough
to be a real differentiator for you as a business. And I guess linked to, you know, Michael and I talk about this on some of the podcasts and values. So you kind of talk about values of, you know, the businesses that are buying from you. And actually, if they align with what you're trying to achieve through that, then that's a real kind of standout. Oh, right. Okay. They're doing it differently. They're thinking about it differently. I want to get involved with that. So.
Yeah. So we use, we've started to use a company called Shakespeare Martin, a legal practice. They're a B Corp.
Right.
They came to us because we're a B Corp yep. and they wanted to work with us. We looked at them and thought
they'd been yeah. through that whole process and went, oh, yeah. you're, can we sit together and talk about how hard that now?
Well, it is a bit because you sort of understand each other. You yeah. know what each other's been through, you know. And then it was quite interesting. I was just having a chat to them the other day. They've got a new office in Lincoln, and their new office in Lincoln is near the railway station. They said, oh, yeah, we try to put all our offices next to railway stations so that all our staff can not come in the car. They yep. can just jump on the train and come to work.
And we can link that back to Michael's favourite subject, trains.
Yeah, trains, oh, yes.
Yeah, so it just is just their decision-making yep. on where they're going to put their office is going through that same process. You know, how's it going to benefit environmentally, how's it going to benefit people? If their staff don't need to have a car, they can come to work on the train. Perfect.
Incidentally, your office is also next to a train station.
Pure luck.
I doubt that somehow. So so B Corp's really important, and that sort of community that does. What other areas of your business empire, as if I can call it that, Steph, are you sort of working?
Well, so we've got our Rototech business, which is doing some really interesting stuff. That's a manufacturing company. We've got our house building company, Gusto Construction. So we're doing more partnership work now. So we're looking to work with other either high net worth individuals who want to do residential property development, with landowners, with the local authority. We're doing quite a bit of work now with Newark and Sherwood District Council. We're looking to do more work with RSLs, which yep. are social housing providers. So we're working in partnership. Our vision for the company is a sustainable future built through partnerships. So we're very much about partnership working. We've got an architect's practice. We've built our nice new offices in Collingham called Gusto House. But it's not just our offices. We've tried to make it a real hub for the community. Yep. So we've got our allotment cafe deli down there. We've got a gym that's opened at Christmas time down there. We've got a studio, so we have events down there. We put on our own events, things like the AI Club, which yep. is a fantastic club. If people want to come down to our next AI Club meeting, which look out on social, we'll put it out somewhere. I think it's in about 10 days' time. After when you hear this, it's the following week. I think it's on the Wednesday, okay. whatever date that is. So the AI Club. I mean, AI is just such an amazing technology that's coming in. You know, real tool that businesses can get hold of. There's so much opportunity, again, for innovation yep. you know, when new technologies open up. And, you know, so I'm really enthusiastic about businesses you know, grabbing hold of this technology, being open, sharing information yeah. with others, and we all go up a learning curve. It's about us all raising up. It's not about having a mentality where your business wants to beat everybody else. just to get ahead and stand on everybody else as you move ahead with your business. It's about us all in this area, all lifting up, all learning together and becoming more successful. And through that, we'll all succeed. So, it, you know, there almost is a selfish vein that runs through that.
Yeah.
But it's an understanding that by sharing knowledge and us all growing, then we all benefit from it.
Yeah. And you're doing that in partnership with another company as well, aren't you?
The
AI Club. Other people that are involved in delivering that and helping you with that?
Yes. Yeah. So every month we put on an AI Club meeting and we get people down that explain what they're doing, how they're using AI. And then it's very much an interactive thing. So we try to get... I think we have about 20 people that come down to the AI Club. Anybody can come. I think it's £8 to come down to the meeting. And it's about people sharing knowledge. So if you think about it, everybody's using AI in a different way. So even if somebody's using it in a very simple way, that they might think, well, this is very obvious. You know, we've been using it like this for the last 6 months. Other people are going to sit there and thought, I've never used it like that before. So it's all those different use cases. And by everybody listening to each other, we all sort of
grow and learn.
We all grow and learn.
And with all new technology, that's really important, isn't it? That sharing and trial and error and working out how it can impact you.
And not being fearful of technology. Absolutely. I think a lot of people are fearful of it. And a lot of people sit there and say, oh, yeah, I know all about AI. I've read about it in the paper and it can do this and it can do that. And I say, have you actually played about with it? And they say, well, no, I haven't played about with it. Well, I've just heard that it could do this and that to my business and it's going to put us all out of work. Well, it won't be the AI that puts you out of work. Yeah. It's the fact that you haven't engaged with it and other companies that are in your same sector have engaged with it. And then they've just got more efficient, done something else with it.
I think it kind of comes back to evolving again, doesn't it? So, you know, someone's always going to evolve. And actually, if you don't keep up with other people, then you get left behind. But there'll always be opportunity for people utilizing that technology. And actually, if you move forward, then you'll make opportunities for other roles, other jobs, other tasks for people to do.
Yeah. And you'll be able to spend a bit more time being creative, because actually, you know, the creative part of business is so, so important. We were at a meeting today.
Yep.
With the Newark Town Fund Board, talking about the next 3 to 10 years of investment in Newark. And I think one of the interesting things, when I say we were there, me and Simon were there, I thought one of the things that was focused on during that meeting is the need for the entrepreneurs, the local business people, to lead on the future of Newark. Now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden it gets taken over by local business people. What it means is that there's value seen in the type of thought process that local business people have, because we have to be creative. You know, we are creative people around business. That's why we're successful, because we're...
And it's a joined up approach, isn't it? You talked about collaboration, you talked about partnership. It's a joined up approach, and it's using people that have got those creative ideas, channeling it through, whether it be a fund or whether that be infrastructure that the local council might have, but it's working together to deliver something that's going to deliver results for everyone.
Yeah, so you've got this machine of Newark and Sherwood District Council, which is good at being a machine, but is not necessarily set up to be...
Think outside the box.
An innovator.
Yeah.
And they'll admit that. They'll say, that's not our job, really. Our job is to be a good, reliable, honest machine that delivers stuff and hopefully does it efficiently. Now what we need, if we're going to reinvent what Newark's going to look like in the next 10 years, let's get a lot of creative business people around, and let's get people from the arts and culture in there as well. It doesn't necessarily just have to be business people.
Yep.
You know, it's people that can think outside the box, people that are going to think differently. And I think if we can tap into that, you know, that is how Newark will really step up to the next level and do something different, do something that hasn't been done before.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yes, and I mean, there's so much going on in our business community, isn't there? And one of the things that we're now into judging money is the Newark Business Awards this year. And I think you were successful last year. Were you successful?
A couple of years ago, I won the Business Person of the Year. It was a nice award to win. And this year, we are judging the innovation category.
Fantastic.
So, yes, we'll be there. It's in my diary, and I'm looking forward to an excellent night out.
It is, and it's another example of the business community coming together and certainly being involved in it, as you have been, and I know Simon is. You are reminded about the breadth of businesses that are in our community and the different sizes and scales and sectors as well. So it's,
yeah. And I think going back to what we started this conversation with, which is the Newark Business Club, you know, the Newark Business Club has been very, very successful in bringing people together.
Yep.
You know, I do think the Newark business community, you know, does stand head and shoulders above a lot of other similar sized places. And I think it's about the communication that we've created through things like the Newark Business Club.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was last year after the Business Awards that we asked people that were members of the Newark Business Club to bring their awards in, if they were a finalist, if they were a winner or highly commended. And I think there was like 13, 14 people that were part of that, that were part of the Newark Business Club. And again, what's interesting, and I know, Michael, you run a few workshops around it, it's encouraging other people that they are good enough to be part of those awards. It's this, I'm not sure, is my business strong enough? Are we good? Actually, you know, listening to you, Kevin, who sits on the committee for us as well, Kevin was running some workshops about the idea of, you know, being confident enough to put your name forward. And even if you are a finalist, then go and enjoy that evening, because you will share tables with like-minded people.
Yeah.
If you get to share a table with Michael Hardy, he will also provide silver service on the table,
absolutely,
which is one of my highlights of the year.
Wow.
you're missing out there, Steph. You are missing out. But it is. It's just speaking and spending time with other like-minded people. And who knows? It might just be a good conversation. It might be a confidence booster. You might even create a new business with someone. So it's those conversations and networking that's great.
Yeah, that's true. And you've just got to make that opportunity to network. And like you said, the Business Awards is another great opportunity to network.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be remiss of me not to talk about some of the other passion that, well, you both have actually, but Steph, football.
Football.
I mean, there's all sorts we can talk about with football. We can talk about some of the past with Lincoln City. We can talk about some of the stuff that you've been doing more recently. I think, you know, we were, again, touched on the meeting that we're at with Newark Town's board earlier on, and actually talking about the provision of sports for all, really. And this is for adults playing sport, but this is also for youth, and something that I'm passionate about. People that have listened to this podcast before, I've mentioned that, you know, I currently run an under 11s football team, so it's something I'm passionate about as well. But we were talking about I guess your link in with that, your link in with the provision of sports fields or sports pitches in Newark as well in the future.
Yeah, so I got involved in football many, many years ago at Collingham, actually.
Okay.
Not as a player, so I've never been very good at playing football, although I do play walking football now and enjoy it thoroughly. So, yes, that was the first time I got involved sort of in a business way around football. I was a sponsor at Collingham Football Club 25-odd years ago or longer. And enjoyed it, and then got involved at Lincoln City, and Lincoln City was going into administration, and so I got involved, invested, and became a director and chairman of Lincoln City Football Club, and sort of learned a lot about the professional side of running a football club and the challenges. And I would say learned a lot about business through doing that.
Okay.
You know, if you ever want to be in a business where, you know, your business is evaluated every Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, doesn't matter how much effort you put in that week to build a crowd and make everything really work, and then everybody sits there and sees that amazing product that you've delivered on the pitch, which you've got nothing to do with as a chairman, because, you know, you haven't decided which team you're going to put out. And you see your team being thrashed 3-0, 4-0, and you're just sitting there thinking, wow, that's so painful, all the work we've done, and you know, this is the product that people come and see. But we had some great years there. We got into the playoffs 5 times, never got promoted as chairman of Lincoln City, but I didn't get relegated either, and learnt so much, and left it, I think, on a very good footing, and they've just last Saturday missed out on playoffs that could have taken them up to the championship. So, you know, I think Lincoln City is a good example of a community-focused club that continues to be successful because there were very good foundations put down, and I'm sort of proud to have been part of putting those foundations down 20-odd years ago. I was a sponsor of Newark Town Football Club for 10 years, and supported them. all the way through, and was involved when Newark Town got promoted from step 7 to step 6, and then got involved in which was Flowserve, and we managed to bring Flowserve back to Collingham, changed the name to Newark and Sherwood United, and trying to do something. What we're really trying to do is to create an opportunity and a structure for a club that could actually climb the pyramid. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a slightly different mindset than just, you know, running a sort of development club with, you have to have a focus on the business side of it. And that's very much what we're focused on with Newark and Sherwood United.
It is like a business plan, isn't it? You've kind of almost got to go with that end goal. What are you trying to achieve? And that might be a number of seasons away. But actually, if you don't think about that now, I've seen it so many times where you get promoted. Right, what have we got to do now? Well, you've got to have some floodlights. Oh, right, okay. What have we got to do now? Oh, we've got to put more seats in. Mm. And actually, it's not fit for purpose. So I suppose identifying land, identifying a stadium, I suppose they're all the sort of things that, you know, will be that end goal, won't they?
Mm, absolutely. And it's also about getting the council very much on board with it and making them realise the benefits that can be delivered through sport and through grassroots sport, and the benefits of having a club that can climb the pyramid in terms of the pride that people feel in the town. And I think, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier about businesses all rising up, you know, we all need all the football clubs to rise up. It's not about one club just running away from everybody else. It's about all the clubs rising up. And I think we're seeing that in Newark. We've just had the playing pitch strategy document signed off by Newark and Sherwood District Council, which means we're going to get 5 new 4G pitches across the district, 2 of which will be in Newark. But obviously headaches along the way. So Newark and Sherwood United, I've been involved now for 2 seasons, and Michael's come on board and is sorting us out commercially, and you know, a real asset. You need a few of you to get on board with it, and we're always keen to get other people on board. So if you're listening to this, you know, come on board, be a sponsor, get involved with us. We're going to be moving out to Harrowby next season, so we can't even play within the district now. There isn't the facilities. Collingham is sort of outgrowing their capacity to have us there, unfortunately, and we've talked to the YMCA. They've got no spare capacity, so we're going to move out to Harrowby for a period of time, and then the idea is we'll hopefully come back, and we're working on this project that will hopefully deliver a stadium for Newark and allow Newark to rise up to the next level and climb that pyramid.
Exciting times ahead.
Always exciting football, isn't it?
It is. And that thing of you know, bringing the community together, the football community, we've talked before about we want the action on the pitch to be competitive, and off the pitch we want to work together with other clubs in the community so that we all benefit, and that piece of growing together and improving the what is offered to sports fans in and around Newark and Sherwood, which we can see. We can see we've got Newark Town in the playoff final. We had a great end to the season under Romain, and obviously we're only 12 months since we won the Nottingham Cup. We've also got Southwell doing well, Collingham. So there's lots and lots of local clubs all rising through, so which is what we want.
And I think, again, coming back to the youth piece, it's good because, you know, you want that aspirational piece. You want somewhere where, you know, the kids are going to go, I want to play for them when I'm older. I want to work with them. And I think that's really, really important as well for, you know, and having those kind of gateways and pathways through as well.
Part of the Towns Fund focus is giving them a place to actually learn and develop within the sports academy as well, because obviously, you know, playing professional sport is very elitist, even at sort of Lincoln City level. There's not many people who make it to that level. But there is a huge amount of roles and opportunities to work in sport at so many different levels. And what part of the plan and part of what we want to do is deliver an academy that can train people so they can go and have a career in sport, even if they're not on the pitch playing.
Okay.
So that's a very important part of our challenge going forward.
Yeah, and that's, you know, working in health and safety in sport, you know, commercial grounds maintenance, physiotherapy. You know, there's so many professions in sport. And a great opportunity for people that, you know, that are not necessarily cut out to be elite sports people, but actually want to work in the industry.
Looking at me when you say not cut out to be an elite sports person.
You are the. I think in this room you probably are. We've all got levels.
You're right, and it is that business piece, and it is all the extra stuff that goes around to create that football club and all the different roles. So, yeah, I guess it's also there. That sounds really fascinating that there may be people that actually go, yeah, I'm not going to be a professional footballer, but what I do want to do is I want to be involved. So,
in that industry.
Yeah.
And the one thing, again, we could go right the way back to that thread, sustainability. So the football industry is only just starting to get its head around the role that it will play in a move to a more sustainable economy and the important role that it can play. And so what we want this academy to do is have sustainability very much at the heart of it. So if we can develop individuals that understand how to deliver sustainability across all the different aspects of working in the professional sports industry, then those people, I think, will succeed going on and working all the way up to the Premiership or whatever level of clubs that they find jobs in. And if they can be born and bred in Newark and developed in Newark and working at top-level clubs across the UK and across Europe, I think we'll have created something amazing.
Absolutely.
Excellent stuff. No, fascinating chat, as always, Steph. And I come back to the fact that, you know, we thank you for being involved, you and the team at Gusto Group, as a patron sponsor for the business club. So, yeah, thank you very much for being part of this podcast today. And I think...
we're nearly over. We've just got to tell people about what's happening at this month's meetings, in the May meeting.
Well, people are probably on the way to the meeting. They're probably at the meeting now, to be honest. But a lot is happening at the meeting in May. So our meeting is sponsored by the team over at Ringrose Law. So we're going to be hearing from some of the updates, a bit of an overview of the business. Some of the people will know the business from Newark, but there's other offices, and they'll be talking and giving us an overview there. Daniel Otten will be announcing the three charities that we'll talk at the meeting afterwards. And then again, I think I mentioned who gives a book. Well, we're going to give more than one book, but stay tuned. Go to the meeting if you would like to get one of our business books as part of the giveaway. Then please join us at that meeting. And then we've got some talks from Newark Town Centre Partnership, and that's going to link into the Newark Town Board. So after our meeting, Steph, I managed to collar some of the people involved in those decision making, and I think the key there was also they're looking for feedback on projects to create that long list. So what I thought would be good is, well, let's ask 80, 100 people who are going to be in the room for some of those projects. So I think Matt Lamb and some of the team from Newark and Sherwood District Council are going to be asking people for their feedback. And, you know, the idea is that, you know, rather than just tell people what's happening in our town, they can help shape what is going to be happening. So that long list will go into the board and it will be considered as some of the projects that some of that town's fund money can be spent on. So
fantastic.
Exciting stuff.
Brilliant. Well, another one has flown by.
Is that episode 4?
Is it 4? I think it's 4. Yeah. Phil's nodding in the corner. He's had to put up with 4 of these. So, yeah, it must be. So I'd just like to finish with a quote, if I may. So I've picked one out that I use quite a bit, and it's a Steve Jobs quote. So Steve Jobs was always good for a quote. And he said, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. The approach never let Steve Jobs down, and it's made a difference in his life. And if we all think about how we've got to, I mean, for us three to be in this room today, and we think back to the journey, and think back to you maybe as being a 16, 17-year-old, would you really expect to be sat here today and have it done and achieved and failed at what you've done? I think the answer is no, certainly from my perspective. But what you have done is they will all have been part of your journey and made you the person you are. So don't get too hung up about trying to focus on lots of dots going forward. Make sure you make the most of what you're doing now because it will impact the future.
Nice.
Yeah, that's profound.
I'm never going to look at a dot-to-dot the same. No, really good. And yeah, thank you for that. Good ending to the show.
Great stuff. Thanks, Simon. been a blast as ever.
Indeed.
Steph, thanks for
coming
along.
Thank you, guys. Very professional. Do give up the day job and become professional DJs.
See you all next month.
All the best, guys.